Okay, we're starting here on the bottom of Lamed Amud Bet. We're continuing with the Gemara that we left off with yesterday's daf, which is Marbrei de Ravina, Avadi Lulo de Brei. He made a wedding for his son. Chazino de Rabbanu David Gabad Chei Tuva, they were a little too frivolous, the Rabbanu there. Aiti Kasa de Mokra, but Arba Mea Zuze brought a glass goblet that was worth 400 zuz. As Rashi says above, Kasa de Mokra is Kosha Zuchuchid Levana, something that we saw earlier in the Masechta, v'tavar, and he smashed the kamayu, v'atzivu, and they became a bit more serious, more sedate. Ravashi abad ilul lebrei, Ravashi did a similar thing, he had a wedding for his son, chazuna l'rabbanu d'abakabat chetuva, he saw that they were becoming a little too frivolous, haitikasa duzugita chivarta, he brought a goblet of white glass, v'tavar kamayu, he smashed it in front of them, v'atzivu, and it made them a little more reticent, increased their inhibitions, and made them a little more sedate. Now, Tosafot mentioned over here, we mentioned this on Friday, that Mikan Agudish Bor Zuchuchid bin Suin. This is the source for the minhag to break a glass at the wedding. Now, this isn't clear from all the Rishonim. Tosafot thinks that there's some connection between this and the Avelut. Many of the Rishonim, and they sent out the Mekorot on this, don't believe that there's a correlation between Zecher the Churban and what happened here. This is independent of any Avelut. What was done here was simply to keep people in the right frame of mind, to stop them from being too frivolous, and that's irrespective of whether the Mikdash was there or the Mikdash was not there. Now, later on in the Gemara has a little line about Yimalei Sechok Pinu, which seems to indicate that we might be talking about the time of Churban versus the time of Binyan. But other than that, the Gemara seems to work independently of Avelut. And therefore, many of the Rishonim believe that this Gemara and these actions taken by the Amoraim are not because of Avelut, because of Yerushalayim, but simply to maintain a certain amount of decorum within the wedding that people didn't have excess frivolity. Amar Yolei the Rabbanan Rav Nuna Zute. Rabbanan said to Rav Nuna, younger one or the little one, Bihilula de Mar Birei de Ravino, at the wedding of Mar Birei de Ravino, Lishrei Lan Mar. So he says, sing for us a song. Amar Oh, Vailan de Mitnan, Vailan de Mitnan, woe are we that we will die, woe are we that we will die. Amar Yolei Anan, Manan, Batrich. What should be the chorus for this? How should we answer you? Amar Yolei, Hai Torah, Hai Mitzvah, de Magnu Alan. Where is the Torah? Where are the mitzvot that protect us? Now, you have different ways to read this. Some of the Gersot read it in a positive light. Make sure you have the Torah, make sure you have the mitzvot that protect you, and then you don't have to worry about it. Or others read it in the negative. I mean, that why are we worrying about death is because where is the Torah and the mitzvot that should be protecting us? The sort for a person to have his mouth full of laughter in this world, only then will our mouths be full of laughter and our tongues full of joy and song. So there seems to indicate there's something else must happen in order for that to be true, and that's Latid Davo. Shira Malot B'Shuv Hashem Et Zion. That only when there's Shivat Zion will there be a dispensation for allowing Schok Pinu. Only when the other nations will say, Higdil Hashem Lasoti Mela, that Hashem was great, that he did this to Bnei Yisrael, that he brought them back to Zion. There is some sort of connection here to the Churban HaBayit, in the sense that the restriction against Schok Pinu has to do with the fact that they don't have Shivat Zion, and that we don't have the other nations saying, Higdil Hashem Lasoti Mela. But if we did have that, then we'd be permissible of Schok Pinu. And that is why some of the Rishonim, like Tosfot over here, connected to the Avelut HaChurban. Amru Alav Resh Lakish. Resh Lakish was a Talmid Chover of Rabbi Yochanan, Shemayamav, Lo Males Chok Piv. And for the rest of his life, he did not have excess laughter. After he heard this memra from Rabbi Yochanan, he was much more reserved for the rest of his life. Tarabanan, Inum Din Litvalel, Lo Mitoch Din, Lo Mitoch Dvar Alacha, Lo Mitoch Alacha Psuka. When a person gets up to daven, you don't do it while one is engrossed or discussing involved in some sort of adjudication, not when they're involved in the depths of halacha, plumbing halacha, ela mitoch halacha psuka, can adapt the daven from something that's a definitive psak. What we don't want is your mind wandering off into these other items while you're davening. So you want you to come in with a clear mind. So you come in after halacha psuka, something that's clear, defined. It's a proper way to come into davening, right frame of mind, to have learned something beforehand. But nevertheless, you don't want it to be something that lingers with you when you daven. What's an example of a definitive psak? Now Gemara is going to give a number of examples. One of them will remind us, for those who just finished up Nida, halacha from Nida, Amar Baye, Ke'ad Rab Zera, Dam Rab Zera, Benot Yisrael, Echmir Atzman, Shafilu Ra'ot Tibat Dam Kechadal, Yoshevet Alea Shiva Nikim. So Rab Zera says that Benot Yisrael were machmir on themselves, that even if they see the smallest drop of dam, like that of a mustard seed, they keep Shiva Nikim. Now Mina Torah, when it comes to a Nida has a sighting of Damim, has to wait 7 days Minatara no matter what. She's Tmeya for those 7 days. And it doesn't matter if she sees Damim during the 7 days, she doesn't see Damim. She could see Damim through the whole entire 7 days, or never see Damim during the 7 days. She's Tmeah for the entire 7 days. At the end of those 7 days, sun sets on the seventh day. If at that point she has a hefsek, she stops seeing Damim, she can go to the mikveh the night of the seventh, and she is Torah, and she is completely Torah. If after that point she starts to see Damim, in the subsequent 11 days, they are called her Yemei Ziva. If she has a sighting of Damim one day during the Yemei Ziva, she has to be Shomeret Yom Keneged Yom. Means that she has to wait that day out, go to the mikveh, and then wait for sunset on that day. And if she sees no more Damim, she's fine. If she sees for 2 days in a row, the same thing. She has to wait on that extra day, Shomeret Yom Keneged Yom. She has to be Mafsik V'Tara, go to the mikveh, and then have the sunset. She sees for 3 days straight, then she becomes what's called a Zava Gedola. Zava Gedola has to wait for Shiv'a Nikiyim, has to have 7 days without any sighting of Damim, in order to become Teora. The end of those the 7 days, in the time of Mikdash, on the 8th day, she would have to bring a Korban. Today, obviously, there is no Mikdash, but you need those 7 days to become Naki. Because of the difficulties in tracking the Yemei Nida, the Yemei Ziva, there were Takanot that were put in place. Some of them are ready by the Tanaim, by Rabbi, and later on, Takanot or Humrot developed in order to eliminate any Safek. And this was the last of these items, which is that the Bnot Yisrael were Machmir, that anytime they saw any Damim, that they wait 7 days. They wait a complete 7 days, B'tara Shiva Nikiim, in order that there be never be a Safek, or whether they're a Nida or a Zava Gdola, they'll always perform or act like they are a Zava Gdola. There's much discussion among the Rishonim. What is the paradigm for this? Why would we wait this? How come we need this solution? There are other solutions. So that's all discussed in the Gemara Nidan by the Rishonim over there. Over here, the Gemara just says, it's Allah Psukah. That's what we all practice, and that's what women are knowing today. That they wait a minimum of 5 days after they see Tum'ah, and that's because of what's called Paletet Shechvat Zera. She could be Tmeah because of the Shechvat Zera that she has inside of her that has 72 hours. Why it's 5 days is also discussed in the Gemara Nidah as well as by the Rishonim. Then after that point in time, she has to wait Shiva Nikiyim. So a woman has to wait a minimum of 12 days before she becomes Tehora. Rav Amar, Ki Ad Rav Oshayo. This is Aloha, that's Aloha Psuka. Tam Rav Oshayo, Marim Adam Al Tvuato, Umachnisa Bemot Shela Kedei Shei Bem To Ochelet Ubtura Min Amaser. That a person can bring in their Tvuah to their house. In order for Tvuah grains to be Chayav in Trumot and Masrot, they have to meet two qualifications. One is they have to have gone through Gemar Malacha. They have to finish their processing out in the field, which means that they have to reach the Goren. Miruach HaKri, they have to be piled over and brought to that state of processing. Then they have to have what's called Riyat Pnei Abayit. They have to be brought into the house. Until those two items happen, they are not Chayav in Trumot Masrot. Now the din might be different, for instance, if he plans on selling it, and he never plans on bringing it into the house, then maybe after Gemar Malacha already makes it into a Kviut for Trumot Masrot. So I'm in a case where he's going to consume the grains. He needs both of those items in order to be chayav midoraita. If one, for instance, didn't do gemar melacha and brought it into the house, they would not be chayav in trumot masrot min haTorah. Or the other way around, if a person did gemar melacha but never brought it into the house, they would not be chayav in trumot masrot min haTorah. The Rabbanan were gozer in these instances, whether there's gemar melacha or if there's riyat pnei abayit without gemar melacha, that a person may no longer eat a achilat keva. They may not eat any full meal or a su'uda of any sort. What they are permitted to do is have an achilat arai. They're allowed to have any temporary meal, a snack, that they're allowed to have without taking off trumot umasrot. Behemot, they can feed their animals, because all achilat behemah is considered to be arai, is already considered to be a snack. So the chachamim, when they made this gzeirah, that if you brought into your house, when the gemar melacha wasn't done, then you are chayav and trumot masrot mid rabbanan. That's only if you have achilat keva. So exclude from that is a snack that you take or any feed to a behema. So that's what's being discussed here, which is Rabbi Oshaya says that if you bring in the marima damo tuato, a person can be a little tricky with his grains. Umachnisa b'motshel, he brings it in while the husks are still on the grains. Kadesh b'im to achilat, taking to feed his animal. Upturam in a maser, he doesn't have to take off trumot masrot because it's achilat behema, which is arai. And there is no view of Chuot Masrot midoraita, only midorabanan. And Rabbanan said, Achilat Arai is okay. Vibai Teima, Kiad Rav Huna. Another possibility about this halacha psuka was like Rav Huna, Dam Rav Huna, Rav Zira, Mekiz Dam Bebeimat Kodoshim. Someone who bloodlets the Beimat Kodoshim, a Beimat that belongs to Kodesh, Asur Bahana'a Umolimbo. One may not derive any benefit from that blood. And if you do, you're Chayav in Mi'ilah Min HaTorah. Mi'ilah is the misappropriation of Hekdesh by an individual. When you misappropriate Hekdesh, you are chayav to repay plus a fifth. And on top of that, you have to bring a korban mi'ilah. So that would be the case here with the damim. Even though the Gemara says, the Mishnayot say in other places, that damim have no din of mi'ilah. Despite the fact that in other places we have indications that damim does not have mi'ilah, As Rashi points out, that's only true when you bring it into the Mikdash. When it's brought into the Mikdash, then Damim doesn't have a din of Me'ilah, because over there we dash in the Pasuk that they Chapara Nitativ Lecha, that I gave you Damim for Kapara and not for Me'ilah. But that only happens when it's the Damim and blood that's inside the Mikdash, when it's in a context of Kapara. Over here where you're bloodletting, clearly not in the context of Kapara, and therefore this blood does have a din of Me'ilah. So one of these halachot is a halacha psuka, something that there are no questions on, no arguments about, and that's the type of halacha that you want to learn before you start davening. Now Rabbanan Avdei Kematanitan. The Rabbanan held like our Mishnah, which is that they used to come to davening mitok kovid rosh. They should come with a right frame of mind where they were focused and reserved. And Ravashi avad kebraita. And Ravashi did like the braita that we just quoted before, that ein om dim leitpalel lo mitoch din ve lo mitoch dvar alacha mitoch alacha psuka. Tanu Rabbanan, ein om dim leitpalel lo mitoch atzvut. Can't get up to daven, not when you are depressed or sad. V'lo mitoch atzlut, not when you're lazy. V'lo mitoch schok, not through laughter. V'lo mitoch sicha, and not from a conversation. Rashi says, leit sanut, clowning around. V'lo mitoch kalut rosh, and not any form of frivolity. V'lo mitoch dvarim bitelim, and not out of things that are meaningless, or not when you're involved in meaningless things. Elo, what should you come in? Mitoch simcha shel mitzvah. Should enter in through the simcha, the happiness or excitement of doing a mitzvah.
As Rashi points out, kigon smichat gulat mitzrayim to the tefillah, or smichat tilal David saying ashrei before davening, kom mikra ot hasdurot b'tefillat arvit, or the psukim that you say before ma'ariv, that is to come in with divrei tanchumim shel Torah, and that is mitoch simcha shel mitzvah in the way that one properly enters into tefillah.
V'chein lo yipater adam mechavero lo toch sicha. Then a person departs from his friend. He shouldn't do this from idle chatter. V'lo mitoch schok, not laughter. V'lo mitoch alut rosh, not frivolity. V'lo mitoch dvarim betelim, not about idle chatter or meaningless things. El mitoch dvar alacha. Should do it with a dvar alacha. You can see here that there's a girsa change. The other option, according to the Gros, is simcha shel mitzvah, which would flow better with the bright over here, because otherwise it would connect to the bright that we saw before. But one of those two. Shekein matzinu minevim rishonim. When it comes to nishonim, shesaimu dvarim bedivrei shevach v'tanchumim. When they finished off the Navi, they ended off on a positive note, with things that are praise for Hashem and the consolation for Bnei Yisrael that things will get better in the future. Even though, as Tosafot points out, the Miyo is one exception to that. But otherwise, most of the Nevi'im is shown him in that way. V'chein tana mari bar b'rei d'Rav Huna b'rei d'Rav Yirmiya v'rahaba al yipader adam mechavero mitoch dvar alacha sh'mitoch kach zochreyo. A person should depart from his friend with words of alacha, because with that, they remember them. This is very true. When you depart from a friend and you tell them alocha, every time they come across that alocha or that dvar Torah, they will think of you. They'll always remember that you gave them that piece of information. And that's a nice way to part, because that keeps the memory of the individual with you. Ki'ad Rav Kahana, alivaya le Rav Simi Barashi. Rav Kahana accompanied Rav Simi Barashi mipum naharo, from the mouth of the river, ad Beit Zanita b'Bavel, in the place of the palm trees in Bavel. Imata l'hata, when he reached there, amalei mar vaday d'amri inshe hani Zanita b'Bavel itnuhu me'adam rishon. Vada ashto, says, are these palm trees really here from the time of Adam rishon? And they're still standing here. And Rabbi Simi Bashi responded, amalei ad kartan milto de Rabbi Yossi bar b'Chanina, you reminded me about something that we heard from Rabbi Yossi bar b'Chanina. Adam Rabbi Yossi bar b'Chanina, maidichtiv ba'aretz asher lo avar ba'ish v'lo yashav adam sham. So it says, at a place where no man has passed, and no man has settled. V'chimar d'lovar eicha yashav. If nobody passed through there, then how was it ever settled? So elu lomar lecha, kol eret shegazar le'a adam harishon lishov. Any place or location where Adam Harishon said it will be settled, or designated for civilization, then next yashva, that was civilized and settled. Kol eret shelo gazar le'a adam harishon lishov. Any place that Adam Harishon did not allocate or designate for living, then lo nit yashva, it was never settled. Rav Mordechai Levaya, the Rav Simi Barashi, Mehagronaya, Vad Beikipi, Vamilad Beidoro, that he accompanied him for a part of the journey from either Hagronaya to Beikipi, or some people say all the way until Beidora. Here the Gemara seems to be missing something, because we don't have any recording of what they spoke to each other. Obviously they're evidence of the Gemara was that they had a Dvar Alocha and were missing that. So it seems to be here that there's something missing from the text. But as far as the previous text, we saw that Rav Kahana accompanied Rav Simi Barashi, and Rav Kahana said, do we really, are these palm trees really here from the time of Adam HaRishon? And Rav Simi Barashi responded, oh, you reminded me about something that I had learned about Adam HaRishon. And it's clear that if Adam HaRishon designated to be settled, then these palm trees must be there from the time of Adam HaRishon. So you have a response, and you have something, halacha, that's learned between them, that will always stay with them, because they departed on that dvar halacha. Turn around on mitpaleo, tzarich shikaven et libo l'shamayim. Wherever davens, has to focus his heart towards heaven. Abishol Omer Siman LaDavar. Where do we know this from? Because it says Tachim Libam Takshiv Aznecha, that they should prepare their hearts, and then Takshiv Aznecha, then you will listen to what they have to say. Tanya Amar Yehuda Kachay Minagosha Rabbi Akiva. This was the minhag of Rabbi Akiva. Kashya Mitpalal Mitzibur. When he daven with the tzibur, with the kahal, Ayamikatzer Veole Mipnei Torach Tzibur. He used to move through his davening at a higher speed. He used to daven Shemesh faster, as to not burden the tzibur with him davening much longer. When he davened by Yechidut, when he davened by himself, Adam in Yechub Zavidzu, he would leave him in one side of the room, and you'd find him on the other side of the room. Why did this happen? From the bowing and prostrations that he did, he moved around, not knowing, but as he bowed and prostrated each time, and he was so absorbed in his tefillah that he ended up moving around the room. A person always daven in a house that has windows in it. Here we're going to bring a number of proofs from Daniel. Daniel is described as going back to his house, to his room, to daven. And there, when it says daven, it says that his windows were open and directed towards Yerushalayim. You would think a person can daven all day. Daniel, and Daniel it says, Bezimnin Tlat, over there it's spelled with a hey, three times a day. He davened three times a day. You would think only when he came into the Golah did he begin to daven. For at the end there it says, Dihava Avid Min Kadmat Dina, that he already did this from before. He continued to daven there, like he had done previously. Maybe a person can daven in any direction they want. Talmud Omar, Neged Yerushalayim, he has to face towards Yerushalayim. On this note, the Rambam happens to codify this halacha, and the Rambam writes that it's already from Moshe Rabbeinu, that there is an obligation to daven towards the Mikdash. It's very interesting, but it seems from this, that the Rambam believes that there is a mitzvah d'oraita to daven towards Yerushalayim. What's amazing about this is that, first of all, of course, the Mikdash didn't exist, neither did Yerushalayim at the time that Bnei Yisrael were mekabel the Torah at Sinai. So that's difficult. You can, and it's possible to interpret it as referring to the Mishkan, but even in that context, it's interesting that the Rambam seems to indicate or believe that there's a mitzvah d'oraita to dive into the proper location and to focus towards Hashem. You would think you could dive in all three tefillot in one shot. David explains in Tehillim, Dechdiv Erev Avoker Vitzarayim, the three times in the day that you daven, you don't daven all at once. Yachol yashmiya kolo b'tfilato. I would think that you have to raise his voice when he davens. Karmu farasha yedei chana. It's already explained to us from tfilat chana. Shnemar v'kola lo yishameya, that her voice was not heard when she prayed. Yachol yishal adam tzrachav v'chaka yitpalel. But a person might think that you should first ask for his needs, and then only afterwards he should daven. Karmu farasha yedei shlomo. It's already explained by Shlomo. Shnemar lishmoel erina ve'ela tfila. Rina zu tfila. The song is tfila, meaning shevach l'kodesh baruch hu. Tfila zu bakasha. Tfila is the request that we make of Hashem. So you can't make a request of Hashem. You don't ask for things from Hashem until you've given shevach. And that's the formula that we use. Our Shmoneh Esrei begins with shevach, the shlosh rishonot. And then only afterwards do we say our bakashot. We have the 12 middle brachot, which are the requests that we make. Ein omer davar achar emet v'yatziv. In Kriyat Shema, or Birkot Kriyat Shema, over there is not the right place to make any requests or bakashot. You have to go from Gal Yisrael, that Shevach, straight into Shmoneh Esrei. Aval achar tefillah, but after one finishes Shmoneh Esrei, afilu keseder vidui shel Yom HaKippurim, Omer. A person can add in as long as he wants. At the end of davening, after you've finished Merech Adamo Yisrael B'Shalom, you can add in as much as you want. You can speak as much as you want to Hashem there on a personal level, and that's not considered to be interruption or inappropriate. Idmar Nami, Amar Rav Chiya Barashi Amar Rav, Afal Pishu Adarahu, Atshol Adam Tzorchah B'Shmoneh Tefillah. A person can make a request from Hashem, he can ask whatever his needs are in Shomei HaTfilah. Nevertheless, in Baal Omar Achar Tfilato, Afilu Kuseder Shomei Kippurim Omer. If it's going to be extended, or he's going to have a large request to make of Hashem, he should do that after he finishes davening. And therefore, the Tabin Ereinu Yanu over here are codified Alocha. The Gemara here is also found in Avodah Zarah, and over in Zarah it's even more explicit, and it says, Amar B'chir Barashim Rav, Av P'shamru Shol Adam Tzorchah B'Shomei HaTfilah. Even though a person should ask his request in Shmei Tefillah, which is a generic bracha, you make any of your requests there. If he has someone who's sick, he should say it in Rifaino. If he needs a livelihood, he should include it in Barach Aleinu. So you see that there's another type or other location where it's proper to ask. So we have one place saying that you should say everything in Shmei Tefillah. One member saying that you say it in the bracha that is relevant to it. And then one member that's saying that you should do everything after you finish davening. So Tamino Remeno Yona lay out a hierarchy here explaining how that is. And they say that there are actually four dinim here. The first is that by Birkat Shmei Tefillah, There's nothing that's topically inappropriate in Shema Tefillah, and you can ask for whatever you want there. The second din is, that if you want to topically add something in the bracha itself, then that is fine too. So in Refa'inu, they have many of the Sidurim have an extra little tefillah to ask for a refuah shlema for chola. It's topically consistent, and that is okay. But he has to say that, kevin shomerato b'shon rabim. He has to say that in rabim, that's what we saw already in the Gemara before, by tefillah tederach, that the proper way to daven is to daven with l'shon rabim. And that is true also when you do it inside of the bracha. So when you make a hiratzon, you have a berkat rofeh cholim, and you want to include it inside of that, you're asking for an also, you have to ask it in a plural form. The din shlishi, the third din is, that if a person is asking for a very personal salvation from Hashem, then he can say it by lashon yachid, even in the middle of a bracha. The other qualification that Rabbeinu Yonah makes here, and that's codified the halacha, is that when you're in the middle of a bracha like Refa'inu, if you're asking for a tzibur or someone else, you can only do it b'sofa bracha, towards the end of the bracha in lashon rabim. If you're asking for something that's personal and you're going to say b'lashon yachid, you can say that even b'emza bracha. You can even see that in the middle of the bracha. So now we have the third lidin, and the fourth din is shebesofa tefila ben kodem yilu ratzon ben achali ratzon yachol arich lomar kitzono b'lashon yachid ben lashon rabim ben tzrachav mamash ben tzrachay tzibur. He can ask for anything he wants. So here we have a layout from the Tamini Beiner Yonah, which is number one, that Shomei Tefillah is an appropriate place to ask for anything. It's topically consistent because it's a generic bracha. But one should not go on forever. It shouldn't be too long. It shouldn't be extended or too much. The other din is that within brachot, you can ask topically for those items that you need. Now, if you're davening for someone else, for the tzibur, you have to ask about the Shon Rabim. If it's really a personal item, and where you need personal yeshua from Hashem, there you can even ask a b'lashon yachid inside of the bracha itself. And the third din is that at the end of davening, you can go on forever, you can ask whatever you want, ben l'shon yachid, ben l'shon rabim, ben tzarchi tzibur, ben tzarchi yachid, you're allowed to ask whatever you want. And as the Mishnah Berurah notes, that one shouldn't be marich in their tefillah shmei tefillah, so they can finish up the end of their shmon esrei, and they can answer to Yehi Shmei Rabba and to Gedusha, and they won't miss out on those opportunities while they're still supplicating for Hashem, so that's why it's best to do it when you finished your tefillat yudchet, and where you would be free to answer those tefillot or dvarim shebe kedusha, that's the best place to do it. The other thing that the Rabbeinu Yonah notes is here, Ali shel adam tzracha b'shloshu shano v'l'shlosh achronot. Person should not ask for their needs or insert anything in the first three brachot and in the last three brachot. But the Gaonim said, the davko tzarchei yachid, that's only true when we're dealing with the individual, the needs of the individual. V'tzarchei tzibur mutar, when it comes to the needs of the tzibur, it's mutar. U'mizeh ano nogim lamar zachreinu mikamocha. And that's the reason that we have those insertions, which are later insertions from the time of the Gonim, but they were inserted both in the Shlosh Rishonot and the Shlosh Achronot. They're put in there because they are Tzarchei Tzibur, and that's why we have permission or dispensation to add them in. So again, it's Minyona Diyoma, that when we start saying these during the Aseret Yimei Tshuva, that's because they are Tzarchei Tzibur. So Gemara says, Amar Rav Amnuna Kama Yuchata Gavravta Ika L'mishma Mihani Krai Dechano. How many great halachot we can learn out from these psukim that are found by Chana, by Tefillat Chana? So now the Gemara is going to use Tefillat of Chana as a paradigm for Tefillah and how we should act and conduct ourselves with Tefillah. And that's really what the remainder of the daf is going to spend a lot of time on, is how Tefillat Chana really shows us or indicates to us what we should do in davening. V'chana hi midaberet aliba. She was speaking to her heart. Mikan mitpaleo, shetzarich likibayin libo. That he has to have focus, concentration. That part of tefillah is not simply saying the words, but you have kept them kavanat alev. You have to be, it has to be a heartfelt tefillah. Rak sifatah na'ot. Only her lips were moving. Mikan l'mitpalel sheyachtoch b'sfatav. He has to be articulating the words through his lips, but they should not be heard by anybody else. V'kolo lo yishameya. Mikan shasur lagbia kolo b'tefillato. From here you see that you're not allowed to raise your voice when you are davening. That's what we mentioned before in the Gemara. V'yachsheveh ali l'shikora. Ellie thought she was drunk. Mikan, shishikora surli itpalo. Well, if Ellie was chastising her because she was drunk, that means that one who is drunk should not be davening. Vayomer lehayli, admatai tishtakrin. How long are you going to be, come here in your drunken state? Amra belazer, mikan, the ro'eb chaveiro, davar, she'eno hagun. If you see something that's inappropriate or behavior that should not be conducted by your friend, sarich lo chicho, you have to chastise him, you have to tell him. And a good friend tells them when you've done something wrong. And that's what we see here. Eli came to Chana in order to tell her that what he saw was not right. Now, Tosafot points over here, Dabar Sheino Golan Perisho, Afagal Delech Yisur Doraita. Not that I meant here in Yisur Doraita. Yisur Doraita, it's Vadai. The Torah says, Chochiach Tochiach Adam Itecha. What we're concluding from here is that even something that's not a Torah law, but as a midah, is some sort of a character trait or behavior that seems inappropriate, a friend is allowed to come over and say something and say, you know, I don't think this is the way that you normally behave. This is beneath your stature, so on and so forth. That is what a good friend does. So Chana responds to Eli and says, no, my master. Now they cut off the rest of the pasuk. She explains herself. But here, the Gemara is darshaning lo adoni, no, my master. You're not a master in this issue. And certainly the spirit of Hashem is not upon you. The fact that you suspect me in this means that you clearly don't know what's going on here. You are not a master. You do not have the presence of Hashem or the spirit with you. Because you assumed that whatever I was doing was negative. And you did not give me the benefit of the doubt. Mi lo yadat, don't you know the ishak shad ruach anochi, that I'm a woman who is in desperation? V'yayin v'shechar lo shatite, I didn't drink any wine or intoxicating beverages. Amar Rabbelozer, mikan nechshad b'davar she'im bo, tzarich lo odio. When there are suspicions or rumors that arise about an individual, you have to respond to them and clarify so that you clear your name. Al titen et amatcha lifnei bat b'li'al. You should not consider me to be a woman without any bounds who acts without any inhibitions. Amar Lazar mikan l'shikor shemitpalel kilo veda v'zara. From here you see that if she had been davening and she was drunk, then that is just like being worshipping avodah zara. How do we know this? K'tiv ocha lifnei bat bliyal. Over here, Chana is responding to Eli and saying that she's not a bat bliyal. Had she been drunk, she would have been a bat bliyal. K'tiv otam, and it says, b'yir anidachad yatzu anashim b'nei bliyal mikir becha, that these people went out and they caused the city to worship avodah zarah, and those people are called bnei Bliyal. So mal alana avodah zarah over there, when it's talking about convincing people to worship avodah zarah, afkan avodah zarah. Vayani Eli, vayomer lechila shalom. Eli says at the end, okay, go in peace. Am Rav Elazar mikan lechushet et chaveru bedavar she'in bo tzarich lefaiso, that a person who suspects his friend for something that is not true, then afterwards you have to appease them, you have to ask them for mechila. So over here he is granting her and saying you should go in peace, and that I ask you for forgiveness, that I mistook you for a shikora. Not only that, did you have to appease them, but you also have to do something positive in return. That God should answer your request, and that you should be given or granted a child. So now, Chana, after she makes a neder, that if Hashem grants her a child, that she would dedicate that child to Hashem. So it says, V'tidor neder, Amar Rabbi Elazar, Miyom, Shebara HaKodesh Baruch Hu Tolomo, Lo Yadam, Shekaro Lo HaKodesh Baruch Hu Tzvakot, Achbat Chana V'Karato Tzvakot. Nobody used this terminology that Hashem of the hosts, or the constellations, nobody ever used that terminology to describe Hashem until Chana came along. So Amar Chana, Lifnei HaKodesh Baruch Hu, Ribbono Shel Olam, Mikol Tzivei Tzvakot, Shebarata Balamecho, from all the hosts and constellations you create in your world, you can't give me one child. He made a great feast for his servants. He's knocking on the door. Can you give me one small piece of bread? They didn't pay attention to him. He pushed himself in. Comes again. From all this great feast you made, you can't give me one little crumb, one little piece of bread? The same thing here. Chana says, of all the greatness and creations that you made Hashem, you can't grant me this little being and just one child? If you see my pain and you take care of me, good. If not, I will take care of the situation. I will incriminate myself as a sota in front of my husband Elkanah. I'll have to drink the waters of the sota. You're not going to make your Torah into a lie. And the Torah says that if the woman is found innocent, she will get a brocha. If she's found to be innocent, then nizra zera, she will have a seed. So there are different opinions of what it means, nizra zera. That works well with me. I talk Kara Nifkedet. If she was barren until this point, she began to children. Shapir, that works well. Lamanda Amari Maita, you'll let it be tsar, you'll let it be revach. Until this point in time, she had given birth with difficulty. She will be granted to give birth with ease. Nikevot, until now she had females, you'll let it zacharim, now she'll have males. Shchorim, until now she had darker skinned children, you'll let it lebanim, you'll have lighter skinned children. Tzarim, before she had birth to shorter children, you'll let it tarukim, she'll give birth to longer children. So Michael Maimer, according to that one, it's only someone who's already giving birth. The dynamics or the character traits of the baby will change, but not that we're saying that someone who didn't give birth before will be blessed. Tatanya Vabraita, Nikta of Nizra Zera, Malamed, Shemaita, Karan, if get it, Divira Bishmal. Bishmal says that's a brocha that a woman who's found innocent as a sota, if she was barren and didn't have children at this point, she will be granted children. Samalei Rabbi Akiva, Mkain, Yochu, Kola, Karol, Kulan, Bistadro. Anybody who's barren will do exactly what Chana said. They'll go and they'll incriminate themselves as sota. Mezil, Shiblo, Kilkolan, if get it. And then this woman who didn't have any problem will get and have children. So we don't want that. El Malamed, Shemaita, you let it be tsar, you let it be revach. If she gave birth with pain before we with ease. Kitzarim, you let it rukim. Shchorim, you let it avanim. Echad, you let it shnaim. She gave birth singletons before, and now she gave birth to multiples. Mayim ra'otir ed. Then what does he do with that? Dibra Torah l'shon b'nei Adam. That's just a poetic license. It's the nature of the writing of the Torah, but it's not coming to say that there's any drush on these words. So the pasuk says, "Bani amatecha lo tishkach." The Gemara here brings it as "ow," but it's really "velo tishkach adamatecha." You should not forget your maidservant and tata lamatcha. You should give your maidservant a child. Why did Chana mention that she was a maidservant three times? There are three things that we know test the woman when it comes to death. And now we know we say that in Bamei Madikim every Friday night, that there are shlosh mitzvot when a woman is b'sakana, that she is in danger of. And those are Nida, Chala, and Hadlaka Taner. So those three mitzvot that are particular to the woman. And being particular to the woman, if she keeps them carefully, they will protect her when she comes into danger, and if not, that they could incriminate her in times of danger. So Amri La, Shlosha Div Kemita, some say that it's not Shloshe, but Kemita, that check by death, but Dov Kemita, that they cause death to come about, and these are them, Nida, Chala, Vehadlaka Ner. Kulam Avarti L'chat Mehem. I'm coming for you, Hashem, and I'm saying, I want to be put to the test. I've kept all three of them well and perfectly, and therefore I should be entitled to a child over here. V'natata lamatcha zera nashim. You should grant me a offspring of man. My zera nashim? That seems strange. What other type of offspring would you have? Amarav gavra b'guvrin. He should be a man amongst men. Shmuel amar zera shemoshech shnei nashim. Have an offspring who anoints two people. Umani nun, who is that? Shaul v'David. That he anointed two kings, Shaul and David. Rabbi Yochanan amar zera sheshakul k'shnei anashim. An offspring that's equivalent to two people. Umani nun, who are they? Moshe v'Aron. Shenemar, as we say in Kabbalat Shabbat, Moshe v'Aron b'kohanav, u'shmuel b'korei shemo. That Shmuel is weighed against Moshe v'Aron. Rabbanan amrei zera anashim. A zera anashim means zera shemuvla ben anashim. That he is just a normal, average person. Yadar avdimi amar lo aruch v'lo goats, not too tall, not too short, v'lo katan, velo ilaim, not too scrawny, not too muscular, velo tzachor, velo gichor, not too reddish, not too white, velo chacham, velo tipesh, not too smart and not a fool. You know, she wanted an average individual, not someone who would not stand out and who would not attract an ayin hara. So then Chana says to Eli when she brings Shmuel back, ani aisha, ani tzevet imacha bazeh. I was the woman who stood by you with this. I'm Rav Shuben Levi, mikan shasur l'shei b'toch arba amot shel tfila. I'll sit when you're within four amot of someone that is davening. Now that's true only if the person is not engaged in tefillah, as Tosfot points out. That's Ben Milafanav, Ben Milatzadim, Ben Milacharav, front, back, around him. He has the four amot, or his sphere, and you're not allowed to interrupt his davening by being in that sphere. Perishua Tshuvat Agonim, Davko Yoshevu Batel. That's if he's sitting doing nothing. But my Yosek, Bekriyat Shema Berichotav, he's davening, Yotzebem, Pil Yoshev Shapir Dam. You can sit, because then you're engaged in the same activity as the other individual, and it's not considered to be an affront that you are within the sphere of that individual. Elanara Zerit Palauti, I daven for this child. Amar Abelazar Shmuel Morel Lachal Difnei Rabbaya. Shmuel was in violation of Paskin Aloha before his Rebbe. Shinemar Vaishchatu et Apar, Vayuviu et Anar El Eli. They shechted the par, the korban, and then they brought the nar to Eli. Mishum de Vaishchatu et Apar, Vayuviu et Anar El Eli. Just because they shechted the par, they brought Shmuel to Eli. Ella, Amarla and Eli, Gro, Kohen, Leit David Lishchot. Recall a Kohen so he can do Shechita for you on the Korban. Chazinu Shmuel Davu Mehadre Batar Kohen. Shmuel saw that they were looking for a Kohen, the Mishchat, to do the Shechita. Amarlahu, Lama Luchula Drure Batar Kohen, the Mishchat. Why are you looking for a Kohen to do Shechita? Shechita Bizar, Ksheira. Even a Zar, even a non-Kohen can do Shechita on Kodashim. I too, the Kamei de Eli. They brought him to Eli after he said this. Amalei Menolacha. Where do you know this from? Amalei Mitiv. What does the pasuk say? V'shachat haKohen. It doesn't say in the pasuk that the Kohen has to do Shechita. It says V'kriba haKohenim, that the Kohenim do Akrava, which refers to the Kabbalat Adam and Olachat Adam. Those require Keuna. And that means Mikabbalah Ve'elech Mitzvah Keuna. Only from the receiving of the Dam from the Behemah. That requires a Kohen. Gan Shechita Shkshir Abzar. So that says that a Zar, someone who's non-Kohen, could do Shechita. Amalei Meimar Shapir Karamart. Enochanami. He's right. The drasha that he has is right. Miu you are someone who is paskin halacha for your Rebbe. Now, even though Eli was not his Rebbe at this point, He just was coming up to the Mishkan. Nevertheless, he was the Gadol Ador. And since he was the Gadol Ador, he should not have been Paskin Aloch in front of the Gadol Ador. Now, obviously this Midrash is somewhat stretched, because when Shmuel is brought up to Eli, he's a young child. It's after he Gamel, after his mother weaned him. So how old is he? 2, 3 years old? Seems a little bit of a stretch, but nevertheless, it's the Midrash here is reflecting what's true in the Navi itself, which is that Shmuel will come and undermine Eli. Eli will take Shmuel as his pupil. And the end, Shmuel will bring the Nebuah to Eli, that his house will be destroyed, that the Mishkan will be destroyed, and eventually Shmuel will ascend to be the leader of Klal Yisrael. So it's the same similar idea, which is within the context of Halacha. So he says, V'chol Marei Halacha b'vnei Rabo, Chayav Mita, Atya, Chana, V'katzav Cho Kamei. Chana comes and screams before Eli, Ani Aisha Nitzevet Imecha Bazeh, I'm this woman who davened with you for this child. Amala Shivki Li Danshe, let me punish him. Ubina Rachmei, and I'll daven again, V'yav Lach Rabba Mine, and the God will give you even better child. Amale, Elanar Zeh Tpalalte, this is the child I prayed for, I don't want this child to go. V'chana Hi Midaberet Aliba, Amar Abelazer Mishum Rabbi Yossi Ben Zimra, Aliske Li. She was speaking about literally her heart, that which is on her heart. Anything that you created in a human and a woman, you created it for a purpose, not for naught. And I am the road, eyes to see with, osnaim lishmo, ears to hear with, chotem la'ariach, a nose to smell with, pele daber, a mouth to speak with, yadaim lasot v'em alacha, hands to work with, raglaim lalich v'em, legs to walk with, dadim lanik v'en, and breasts to nurse with. These breasts that you gave me, what purpose do they serve? Aren't they there to nurse? Let me use them and utilize them for what they were given to me for. So again, this is somewhat non sequitur, but since it's said over by the same individual, it's brought over here. Anybody who fasts, the fast here with them as a tanit chalom, someone has a bad dream, and fasts because of that bad dream, they're allowed to fast even on Shabbat. And it's efficacious to fast on Shabbat. Korilim gazar dino shel shivim shana. He'll rip up a decree even for 70 years. Meaning that it's a good time to fast, and one should fast for tanit chalom on Shabbat. Vafo pikein, he's been in violation of Shabbat, he fasts on Shabbat. Chozrim v'nifraim mimeno, din onek Shabbat. So even though he saved himself from the other din, he now has obligated himself, or made himself culpable for violating onek Shabbat. So what should he do? He'll have to fast another day during the week for the fast that he did on Shabbat. This is the halacha, that for a tanit chalom, if one is faced with that, they can fast on Shabbat. But if they do fast on Shabbat, they have to fast another day to make up or to be mechaper for the fact that they fasted on Shabbat. Chana spoke in a
irreverent manner,
brazen way before Kodesh Baruch Hu. Shnemar v'titpalel al Hashem. So the pasuk really says the word al in it. Instead, it shouldn't say el Hashem. Instead, it says v'titpalel al Hashem. That she spoke on Hashem, meaning that she put herself in a way where she was speaking directly to Hashem and throwing it onto Hashem. That she threw out her predicament to Hashem and said, take care of it. Eliyahu did the same thing. He says about the people that are worshipping the Baal, and he's asking Hashem to come at Har Carmel to bring down the fire and to swap the carbonate. He says to Hashem, you caused their hearts to go astray and to leave you and go worship the Avodah Zarah, because you put a Yitzharah inside of them. How do you know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the end acquiesces to the words of Eliyahu? Because it says, that I put bad into them. And as Rashi points out, the beginning of the pasuk is, so that it says that I will gather in all of those that have been dispersed, and those that I caused bad to. How did I cause bad to them? Because I gave them a Yitzharah. Okay, we'll stop over here.